Over a lifetime, Lake Effect essayist Carrie Taylor Carlson has weathered many changes, but she says one thing has remained a constant, her challenging relationship with fashion.
After my good friend and clothing consultant moved to Seattle, things went downhill. Before Kate, I lived in jeans, baggy tops, an army surplus jacket, and black, brown, or navy tees with a message. Pizzazz, an unknown country where my friends resided, excluded people like me, who were not ever stylish or fashion-forward. When I was a kid, I dressed in faded jeans with my dad's white shirts artfully knotted to fall below my waist. With nothing to tuck in, I dashed off to school, a shirt tail covering my butt. I thought I looked like a winner, casually cool with an I-could-care-less look that camouflaged all the less-than-perfect body parts. My anti-style attitude may have started when I lived outside Detroit, and my mom took me downtown on the bus to J.L. Hudson's, where we shopped for my annual back-to-school clothes. What I remember about those excursions is how I struggled to contain my motion-sensitive, churning stomach until we rang the buzzer, stopped the bus, and got off so I could puke. In grade school in the 50s, I dressed up when the occasion called for something more. A poodle skirt, a cinch belt, brown and white saddle Oxford shoes, and thick white socks. This year, my 10-year-old granddaughter wore that identical outfit and called it her Halloween costume. At the junior prom, I looked like a pumpkin and felt like a Halloween display in my floor-length, gold-colored, lacy dress with a billowing skirt puffed up with a crinoline soaked in sugar water to make it stiff. In college, one black velvet dress took me to every formal dance, and as far as I was concerned, if I changed earrings, I had a new look. Why did anyone want two dance dresses when one sufficed? After college, a boutique department store in San Francisco hired me to participate in their management training program. When we sold merchandise to customers, a dress code mandated gray, brown, navy, or black, my favorite colors. I owned one skirt, appropriately gray, and topped it with a black, baggy sweater to hide my ample hips, and wore that outfit almost every day. I've always wanted to disappear inside my clothes, to a place where I felt safe. A dozen trainees worked under the thumb of a supervisor who pulled me aside one day and said, "You need to pay more attention to the way you dress. You're an executive trainee." Ah, yes. I was a merchandising major, headed toward a job in the fashion industry, the person who hated to shop. Despite my wardrobe malfunctions, I was the first trainee promoted, upgraded to assistant buyer in the fashionable junior women's dress department. I lasted 1 month. I married, moved to Peoria, then Milwaukee, and had four children. Occasionally, I needed a dress. I wore the same one four times when my four children graduated from high school. It resembled a royal blue tent decorated with pink and orange flowers. I loved that dress. My children shamed me into donating it to the Salvation Army after the last graduation. Then I met Kate, who dragged me to the mall and picked out a blue silk outfit that took me through three college graduations until I spilled red wine on it. We went back to the mall for number four, where I bought a dreadful matching skirt and top, purple with lace on the bodice. I wore it once. Four weddings followed. Again, Kate rescued me, and together we chose the mother of the bride/groom dress, navy blue with a fake diamond just above my breasts. It was low cut, a look I disdained, so I snipped off the little fake and replaced it with a conservative blue and green scarf. It was a fine dress, but the woman at the resale shop didn't think so when she refused to take it on consignment. "It won't sell," she said. "It's old-fashioned." Like the others, it found a final resting place at the Salvation Army. For years, Kate, with the patience of Buddha, dragged me to the mall, modeled outfits, added bracelets, earrings, scarves, and cheered when I pulled out the credit card. A true friend, she tried. When she moved to Seattle, I regressed. Jeans, black yoga tights, and oversized shirts make up my daily wardrobe. I have body parts to hide, but now they're wrinkled. Arms, legs, the neck, and an expanded waist to camouflage. I break for comfort, not class. And number one on my itinerary is still the favored I-could-care-less look. But there's hope. Her name is Caroline, and she's an accomplished fashionista. When I visit, she takes me to her room, we sit on the floor, and just like Kate and I used to do, we pick out an outfit. When I suggested something pink, she said, "Grandma, I'm not a girly girl. I don't wear pink." At 8, she's perky, confident, and she knows how to dress. The last time I visited, she chose shades of gray and white, multiple layers with maroon striped tights to add a spark of color. She pulled out a red scarf from her mom's closet and said, "Grandma, you wear this." Then she skipped outside to bounce on the trampoline. She was right, this pint-sized namesake of mine. Caroline is not a girly girl, and neither am I. The next time I need an outfit, I'll take Caroline to the mall.
Lake Effect SAS Carrie Carlson is a freelance writer, outdoor guide in the West and overseas, and a former environmental educator. She lives in Milwaukee. And I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you can be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned now. Fresh air comes your way next.